Welcome to Spectrum West, everybody. Good to have you here for the 300th time I've been able to say welcome to Spectrum West, so that means we've greeted somewhere in the vicinity of 1,200 guests or so, each one with an interesting story to tell and with vital information to share on how Western Wisconsin treats the arts, music, and humanities that feed our souls. And might I say, the cities, towns, villages, and countrysides of Western Wisconsin are very good at providing themselves entertainment and enrichment. It truly is a privilege to provide yet another stage. On today's stage, we're going to share some discourse with three members of the diverse Americana Roots Ensemble known affectionately as Eggplant Heroes, named more after a sandwich than someone to be exalted. Jim Oliver's here with Patty Miller, representing the Northern Star Theater production of Nonsense Amen, playing soon in Rice Lake. They gather in Amory to talk about the condition of the arts in rural northwest Wisconsin. Lemoyne McLaughlin hosts the conference each year and will be with us. And here's where we begin today. It's always exciting when any of the many, I'm talking about theater venues and centers for the arts in western Wisconsin, announces a new season, and that just happened at the Phipps Center in Hudson, one of the busiest. Executive Director John Potter was kind enough to interrupt his schedule and entertain some questions from a curious caller. Well, I think we should introduce the Phipps Center to those new to the scene and refresh it for those who may need it. The history of the Phipps Center for the Arts is a good one and good for Hudson. Describe the facility itself, if you would, please.
Well, certainly. The center is located in downtown Hudson, overlooking the St. Croix River and Lakefront Park. We have a proscenium theater that seats 247. We have a black box theater, a totally flexible space that seats a maximum capacity of 125. We have dedicated classroom spaces for the visual arts, dance, music. We have a scene shop that serves both of the theaters. Then we have a costume shop and storage area, and we also have seven gallery spaces for rotating exhibitions.
Talk about how Hudson supports the Phipps, Hudson and the entire area, because you are a busy venue, and you wouldn't be there if you did not get support.
There's no question of that from really all angles. Hudson has been very good to us, but we wouldn't be able to sustain our efforts if it wasn't for the entire St. Croix Valley community. Actually, from the very first season, which was in 1983-84, the majority of our database addresses of patrons were from Minnesota. And that has remained the case, that over half of all of our patrons are from Minnesota. So we serve an area that probably goes from Stillwater down to Hastings and Prescott up to St. Croix Falls, certainly increasingly the Woodbury area and eastern St. Paul, as well as western Wisconsin over to Menominee and beyond. So it really is a regional center. We couldn't exist without, first of all, the support of the patrons, the volunteers. Again, there's over 500 volunteers on an annual basis that allow us to do what we do. Mm-hmm. And then the support of area businesses, foundations, and individuals is extremely important, not just on an annual basis, but to our capital campaigns as well.
Sure. What do you think is the most important aspect of being a successful arts venue? Is it consistent quality? Is it consistent growth? Is it injecting a surprise factor now and again? Is it all of the above?
I would say it's all of the above. I think you're absolutely right. I think one of the secrets to the success of the center is that it is something a lot of folks, that is to say organizations, tout and claim that they are, but in reality, we are a true community arts center. Mm-hmm. So everything that happens here is a result of folks that get together and say, this is what we'd like to do. It isn't some artistic person or group that says, here's art and it's good for you and here's what you're going to enjoy, but rather it really is a grassroots organization. That's what it began as, and that's what it is today.
Yeah, I was going to ask that question, and I guess you just answered it. Maybe it's how you go about doing it, but I was going to say, how often do you get or do you react to requests? Do you get requests for performances often? And it sounds like you do. Within what? Do you have community committees? What do you have?
You're exactly right. So we have what we call councils, and you could think of those as standing committees of the board. And the councils are responsible for various areas of programming. So there's a community theater, there's a children's theater, and that is defined as area students performing for family audiences. They both have open auditions, and they both have play selection committees. Folks are always making suggestions. Our patrons are making suggestions, as well as members of the councils. There's a visual arts council that's responsible for the programming of the galleries. So we have an annual call for artists and receive many, many applicants that is juried. And then each year selections are made, not only for the center, but other venues, the Hudson Hospital, as well as the New Richmond Hospital and senior housing in Bayport at Croydale. We also have an annual art festival in the fall. And then we have a music council that's responsible for our music series. They are also the umbrella for Phipps Festival Chorus, annual holiday concerts, as well as the Phipps Choral Society, formerly known as the Oratorio Society. And they have an annual concert in the spring right around Easter. And then we also have a volunteer council, which is responsible for recruiting supporting services staff, such as the ticket office and ushers and mailers, all of the folks that make it possible to have the programming that we do.
The more people out there who feel that the Phipps is theirs, it belongs to them, and it is part of their life, that determines your level of satisfaction and feeling successful.
Indeed. I think there's actually two phases, maybe more than that. One is that it's a very social organization. The folks that are volunteering here and coming here have a great sense of community and friendships that have developed over the years, or friendships have resulted in folks coming here quite often. And the other side to that is there's a constant input of suggestions for programming from musicians to touring groups, or somebody will say, you know, I was just in New York and saw this wonderful show and you should do it. Or they'll say, I was just in Florida or Arizona and we saw this wonderful musician and you should get him or her.
Well, by way of a release in the past week to 10 days, you have announced the new 2015-2016 season. I don't think we have time to talk about everything, but maybe you'd like to hit on the highlights, and then as things arrive, we certainly will be talking about them here on Spectrum West.
Well, I appreciate that, Al. We are opening the season with a Noel Coward comedy, which most folks are familiar with, Blythe Spirit. There's a ghost that returns unexpectedly and causes some interesting occurrences with a husband and his new wife. That's a fun, lighthearted comic production that opens the season this summer. This fall, we have Davina and the Vagabonds, a very popular group in the area that is making their Phipps debut.
Good.
We'll have Into the Woods, our November musical. Perhaps you could call that an adult fairy tale, just made into a very popular film. A number of holiday concerts. I mentioned the Phipps Festival Chorus. John Lauter, the staff organist of the Fox Theater in Detroit, will be making his Phipps debut on our Wurlitzer Theater pipe organ. Ken Double will be here for a holiday concert in December. The St. Croix Valley Symphony Orchestra performing a Christmas extravaganza.
Wow.
So lots of holiday programming. Next year, we have a number of artists returning. We have the Barley Jacks with Brian Wicklin, an outstanding fiddler, Lake Wobegon Brass Band, Phil Cadidlo, and Less Is More, as well as Friends, will be back with a tribute to music of the 60s and 70s. The Barbary Coast Perennial Favorites returning next spring. So there's a real mixture of old and new. A funny show that I don't think has been done in this area. This was a favorite of the play selection committee. Everybody that read it said, well, we've got to do this. It's called Glorious, the true story of Florence Foster Jenkins, the worst singer in the world. And we'll be doing that next spring, and it's exactly what the title implies.
Well, I have to say, it's almost like hearing someone ring the doorbell and finding it's the UPS man at Christmas time. When the Phipps Center for the Arts releases its new season, it's like getting a a long-awaited gift and a surprising gift, and one that we need, by the way.
You know, so gifts, nice to hear.
Gifts are always good to be functional. So, John Potter, thanks so much for being with us. I appreciate it. All the best on the new season. Keep up the great work. We couldn't do it without you.
Thanks so much, Al. You make it so easy.
TheFIPS.org is where you'll find all you need to know going forward. Direction places like the Phipps Center for the Arts are always headed. The Northern Star Theater gets set to open a new production, Keeping the Arts Healthy Around Here, and Eggplant Heroes drop by for a chat. All yet to come here on Spectrum West. Support for Wisconsin Public Radio comes from Marshfield Clinic, conducting research that one day may allow doctors to use patients' DNA to diagnose diseases earlier and prevent certain diseases and illnesses. More at marshfieldclinic.org/genetics. Well, Jim Oliver, the perfect man to pound the West Wisconsin theatrical beat, has convinced another busy director to take a break and tell us what's in rehearsal. Let's listen in on that conversation.
The Original Nonsense is a musical comedy with book, music, and lyrics by Dan Goggin. The original musical dates back to 1985. The Nonsense franchise has grown to include 9 musicals centered around the Little Sisters of Hoboken. One of the 9, Nonsense Amen, premiered in 1998. The Northern Star Theater of Rice Lake will stage Nonsense Amen Tuesday and running through June the 28th. Joining us by telephone from her home near Rice Lake is the director, Patty Miller. Welcome to Spectrum West.
Well, thank you, Jim. It's nice to be with you.
So what are the Little Sisters of Hoboken up to this time?
Well, they're always in trouble. And this time they're trying to bury the last 4 dead sisters.
Hmm.
Yeah, they were killed off by some bad vichyssoise soup.
I can't remember. Who made the soup?
Sister Julia, child of God.
Oh, yes, of course.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
This is a male version. Just who are these guys anyway, or is this just a little bit of a gimmick to change the landscape, so to speak?
Well, I think it was Dan Goggin's gimmick to just switch it up and just see what would happen if you put males in the place of nuns. So it does have a little more of a twisted sense of humor when you see men dressed up as nuns.
How hard was it to recruit guys to dress in, well, drag is sort of, I guess?
Not nearly as hard as you might think.
Oh, really?
I had people asking, can I be in the show? Can I be in the show?
Oh.
I think theater guys, they want to experience everything, and they're up for anything.
Yeah,
so it was pretty easy to fill the parts.
Well, tell us who the members of the cast are.
All right. As Reverend Mother, Sister Regina, we have Mark Berger. As Sister Hubert, we have Dan Organ. And Stephen Mitchell plays Robert Ann. And Jackson Liddle is poor Sister Amnesia. And the novice of the group is Connor Mitchell.
Mm-hmm. Now, you told me you have directed Nonsense Amen before in 2002. Is it easier to stage the show the second time around?
It actually is, because you've got some of the basic groundwork done.
Mm-hmm.
But every time you add a new face to the cast, they've got just so many ideas. And I'm the kind of the director that really likes to listen to what the cast thinks and what they would think is funny, what they'd like to do, and what feels natural to them. Because I just think that makes it a more personable show.
Mm-hmm. As I understand it, Nonsense Amen is basically the original Nonsense, just with guys.
That is correct.
Okay. Are there any differences at all, aside from the gender?
Other than, you know, these guys aren't going to wear pantyhose.
Yeah.
That's about the only difference.
Ah, okay. So the line's the same. Is the music the same?
The music is the same.
Okay. Speaking of the music, do you have a musical director or you have a band of sorts?
We have a lovely little 4-piece combo that's being led by Tammy Roberg on keyboard, Norm Yamada on percussions, and then 2 young men, Jason and John, that were members of the Rice Lake Band at one time, and they're going to be playing saxophone and trumpet.
Oh, okay. So it sounds like a pretty good group.
It is.
Now, what about the set? Are you involved in set design, construction, and all of that? What kind of set do you have?
The 8th graders are putting on the musical Grease. Mm-hmm. So we've made it look like the diner from Grease with, you know, 50s records, big jukebox, the checkerboard stuff. Mm-hmm. It's a fun set.
Mm. Are the set changes or just is it the same
no,
set throughout?
The set stays the same throughout the whole show. And the costumes stay the same.
Uh-huh.
We add a, you know, we add a little hat, you know, or a little witch's cap or baker's hat and a few props.
Mm-hmm. You tell me that you are called the costume goddess, so I'm assuming you did the costuming for the show.
Well, yes, I did. It was pretty easy. We just pull them from our, well, I have a tub that's called Nuns, and we just pull the nun costumes out and put them on the guys, and away we go.
Uh-huh. She is Patty Miller, who is director of the Northern Star Theater production of Nonsense, Amen. I'd like to ask about costumes a little bit. Where do you seek out your costumes? You apparently are more fortunate than a lot of community theater companies that don't have any storage space. You have a warehouse, sort of, where you keep your costumes?
I actually have like 2.5 rooms in the theater that we're in that are just full floor to ceiling with costumes, either on tubs or in hangers. I've threatened to take an inventory, but it just would take too long. Too long.
But you do have some idea, though, where certain costumes, where you could find certain costumes, I suppose.
Oh, absolutely. Mm-hmm. They keep saying I must have a photographic memory because they can say, well, where's that pair of white stretch pants? And I'll just go to the tub and there they are.
There they are. Okay.
But it's called, you got to really be organized, too. So.
Well, sure.
That helps.
I was just curious, do you ever have like a garage sale or something just to just kind of thin out the supply of costumes that you have?
I've thought about it, but so far I've not really wanted to part with anything because just about the time you do, another show will come along that requires this really weird piece that you never thought you'd use again.
Mm-hmm. Well, let's talk a little bit about your personal experience in theater. How long have you been, how long since you've been bitten by this theater habit?
Probably when I was a little girl. In a Catholic grade school, by the way. You know, they got your little Christmas programs.
And, oh, sure.
And then you move into 4-H programs and high school drama. And then you take a little break because you got to, you know, go to real school and and be a mom and stuff like that.
Oh,
and then
sure.
I want to say it was about 89 when I got back into the theater. And I've been with Northern Star since the year 2000.
Okay. So you started out by acting, or did you just work backstage? Or?
Yeah, I was a little actress,
Yeah, that it's always interesting how people get started in community theater. I have a good friend who is a journeyman carpenter, and he started building sets, and then pretty soon he was getting small parts in the play just to fill out the cast, and then larger parts, and then wasn't long, and he was directing shows. So,
wow. You know,
so it worked.
Cool.
So you kind of work your way up in community theater, which is the great joy of being involved in such an outfit.
That's a good spot because we've actually had our set builders come on stage, too. So it's a good place to start.
Absolutely. Do you remember the first play that you were in?
Do you mean non-high school?
Yeah.
I would say Elephant Man.
Okay.
And I was one of the pinheads.
Mm.
And then because you want to keep the cast small... I also turned into a duchess.
Oh.
And then the second show I was in, I was a prostitute.
Hmm.
Yeah, interesting. You go from one thing to another.
Oh, for sure. What led you to decide you wanted to direct?
Well, it was because the director that I'd been working with for so many years said, you know, you should do this.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, no, I shouldn't. He said, yeah, you should, and you're going to. And you're going to direct Nonsense Amen. He would never take no for an answer.
Oh,
so he kind of forced me into it.
Yeah, that's sometimes what happens in a volunteer organization.
Yes, it does. I think he just wanted to take the month off.
Uh-huh. So do you do mostly directing now, or have you done some acting since then?
I usually try to direct one show a season. Sometimes it ends up, one year it ended up being like 3 shows, which was too much directing, because when you're costuming and directing, it gets pretty tricky.
Yeah.
So 3 is too many. But if I direct one show, and I like to be in one show if I can.
Mm-hmm. I always ask this, and I always get kind of the same answer, but I'll see what you have to say anyway. What do you prefer to do, act or direct?
Oh, man. That's tough. each have their own good points and and not so good points.
Oh, sure.
Right now, I'd have to say directing because this is a really fun bunch of guys to work with. But if you talk to me in the fall, I'll probably say, oh, yeah, I really like acting better because I'm going to be the grandma in Adam's Family Musical.
Ah.
That sounds like it's going to be a fun part. So
yeah.
It's really hard to make that call.
Usually that's the answer. Kind of answer I get is whatever I'm involved in right now, that's what I'm most like to do. If you're a serious theater person, that's kind of the attitude you have, I think. You love what you're doing right now. And
whatever it is you're doing.
Yep.
If I'm working in the bistro or painting the floor, it doesn't matter. I'm at the theater, and it's good.
Mm-hmm. Plus, it's a lot of fun people to be around in community theater.
That's
Well, we've been talking with Patty Miller, who's director of the Northern Star Theater production of Nonsense Amen. The show opens Tuesday at the theater in Rice Lake. For ticket information, you can contact the Northern Star Theater at 715-736-4444 or use your favorite internet search engine to find the Northern Star Theater's website. Patty Miller, thanks so much for being with us.
Well, thank you for talking with me, Jim.
Every week, Jim Oliver. Stellar job, thanks. This is Spectrum West. We'll share the studio with members of the Eggplant Heroes and talk up their new CD. But first, most of the day Friday, the Northern Lake Center for the Arts in Amory will be buzzing with conversation about how to keep the arts flourishing in our corner of the world. Lemoyne McLaughlin directs Northern Lakes and hosts the Rural Arts Conference for Northwest Wisconsin, and he's been hosting it for 24 years. We come together to share successes and ideas, how we can help the arts flourish in our part of Wisconsin, discussing local networking, statewide resourcing, and the economic impact of the arts. As a reporter of what goes on in West and Northwest Wisconsin, this, of course, is right up my alley, and your success is vitally important to Spectrum Westers, because without your success, we would have nothing to talk about. Tell me about the beginning of the first Rural Arts Conference.
The Northern Lakes Center for the Arts is 26 years old this year.
Okay.
And it was in our second year, we were working very closely with the Wisconsin Arts Board and with a couple other regional organizations. And we thought, you know, well, wait a minute here. We should just get together in northwestern Wisconsin and share ideas and see what we can do to work together and promote the arts in northwestern Wisconsin.
Mm-hmm.
And so 24 years ago, we had our first session, and we pulled together 10 to 12 organizations on an annual basis, from Madeline Island down to Eau Claire, over to Prescott, up to Superior, that kind of kind of that quadrant of Wisconsin. And we just share ideas. At one point, I think it was an arts organization from Ladysmith. The woman who was director there at the time said, you know, we aren't going to make it. We just lost all of our funding. We're going to try one more thing and see what happens. And, of course, we were all there, you know, to comfort her and say, hang in there and all that kind of stuff.
Sure.
And next year she came back again and she said, we made it, and here's how. And she shared with us all of the fun of that creative work that they had done to make it work in Ladysmith.
Yeah.
That's the kind of thing that happens at this conference.
I wonder how people like the Wisconsin Arts Board and people who are located in the Madisons and the Milwaukees of the world, how they view the hinterland and what people are doing in that hinterland. Were they aware that there were some very good things going on way up in northwest Wisconsin?
Well, let me say, first of all, I don't know if people in Milwaukee even know there is a hinterland. But the Wisconsin Arts Board has been very supportive. We're not sure if George Sugros, the executive director of the Arts Board, is going to be at our conference or not. I mean, they've got their own problems statewide, and their travel, you know, is restricted to a certain extent. And we're hoping George will make it. He usually does and fills us in on the current happenings with the Arts Board. One reason he may not do that this year is because I've been on the Arts Board now for 3 years, and so I can kind of update it from a board member perspective as to what's going on with the Arts Board.
Okay.
The other person who always comes is Ann Katz, who's the executive director of Arts Wisconsin.
Sure.
In a sense, George is the public end of the arts in Wisconsin, and Ann is the private end. And they work together very closely and help spread the arts throughout Wisconsin.
Yeah.
Anne will be here for sure, and she'll be filling us in on the current happenings.
Those big city people may not want to admit it, but I have a feeling that over the 24 years, they've learned some things from coming to your conference.
Well, I mean, obviously, they both live in Madison, but they do get around the state.
Yeah.
I mean, I have to applaud their efforts in that regard. They aren't just urban-focused or urban-centered. They do get around to all of the small communities as well.
Well, I mean, my point is that things that work in small towns can work in big towns as well.
Yeah, right. Yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
So are there specific examples of good things that have come out of these 24 sessions?
Specific kinds of things. We've got a little agenda. Let me just kind of summarize that here. We have coffee and refreshments from 9 to 10 on Friday. And then at 10 o'clock, we have a welcome. And then at around 10:30, we just kind of go around the room. And the organizations deal with the questions, you know, what have we all been up to recently? What special things are we working on? And then what have been our greatest challenges? What have been those things that have really been problems, if you will? And then thirdly, what have been our greatest successes? Everybody always likes to share those kinds of things, the things that are working. And then finally, what does the future look like for each of us? We deal with those four questions, and it takes about 20 minutes per organization. Everybody gets their full say. This isn't just for organizations, although it's focused on organizations. We do have individual artists who come, too, who want to tie into the local organizations, photographers, visual artists, writers. And so they have a chance then to meet the organizations in Northwestern Wisconsin as well.
Creative fundraising ideas are always on the table.
Exactly. Yeah, maybe you're right. That maybe everything is focused in that regard, I suppose. But it's fun kinds of things that we're really interested in sharing.
There's strength in numbers, and some people may have lost their will to survive and have gone away had they not had the support of their peers.
That is true. It's been rewarding to see those people come back, like the Ladysmith example that I gave.
Mm-hmm.
But there are also problems. And maybe the biggest problem right now is that the arts in rural areas are so individually focused that if that person isn't there, there may be problems. One of the reasons we started this was to perhaps find somebody who will take over after my wife and myself are no longer with Northern Lakes. I mean, we aren't ready to change that yet, but, you know, who knows? You need to look toward the future, I think.
Yeah. That's the voice of Lemoyne McLaughlin, Northern Lakes Center for the Arts. That's in Amory. 24th Annual Rural Arts Conference for Northwest Wisconsin is coming up. You know, with the arts always under a microscope, sometimes more magnified than others, the arts and the people who either make a living in it, dabble in it, present it, enjoy it, there's an energy there that really can't be extinguished. Is that what you find with a lot of people? We talked just a moment ago about possibility of going away, but some people just won't have that.
Well, I think that's right. I don't think I have ever run into anybody in the rural area of northwestern Wisconsin who says, I'm in the arts for the money.
No.
It's for other reasons. Serving the community, just plain old fun activity that you get involved in. But on the other hand, you know, we need to be financially responsible, and if we're not, it's not going to continue.
By the way, talking about people's will to succeed, we've all heard the phrase, of course, where there's a will, there's a way.
Huh?
I found a few, I Googled, because I'm tired of saying where there's a will, there's a way, you know what I mean? I'd like to find some other. I found three other ones that I thought were pretty cool. When a man's willing and eager, the gods join in.
There we go.
I like that one. When the will is ready, the feet are light. That's a good one. Great souls have wills. Others have only wishes.
I like them. I like them all.
I'll lend them to you.
Where there's a will, there's a Shakespeare.
Ah, that's good, too. Have you used that? Don't you do some Shakespeare up there?
Oh, we do. We are doing that this summer again.
Well, Spectrum West and WPR acknowledge your contribution to our quality of life, and we're proud to be a partner in your adventures, so thanks very much.
Well, thank you, Al. I'm always pleased to be able to talk with you on Spectrum West.
Lemoyne McLaughlin, multi-talented musician, poet, writer, publisher, columnist, and a few other labels I'm certain to be missing. It's the Northern Lakes Center for the Arts, one of many who dot our landscape and add good times to our good lives.
Here's what's on stage in Western Wisconsin theater venues. The musical 110 in the Shade will be staged by the Eau Claire Children's Theater through Sunday at the Oxford Theater. The Children's Theater will also be performing Magic Treehouse, The Night at Dawn, Wednesday through Friday at the Oxford Theater. The Northern Star Theater of Rice Lake will present Nonsense Amen next Tuesday through Sunday. The Little Shop of Horrors will play Saturday and Sunday at the Festival Theater in St. Croix Falls. The show will continue in repertory through August the 20th. The Great River Theater will present The Pirates of Penzance through Sunday at Town Square Park in Prescott. Almost Maine will be staged through Saturday at the Red Barn Theater in Rice Lake. The show will continue through June 27th. The Chippewa Valley Theater Guild will present Joseph and the Amazing Technicolor Dreamcoat next Thursday through Sunday, June 28th, at the State Theater in Eau Claire. And that's some of what's happening in live theater around the region. For Spectrum West, I'm Jim Oliver.
Support for WPR comes from Minnesota Marine Art Museum in Winona, presenting the surreal work of Madison artist Stephen Hillier in Seeking the Sublime on exhibit through July 15th. Visit and support information at mmam.org. I'm Al Ross. This is Spectrum West. Here's some Spectrum memos. This evening, Thursday, June 18th, there's a poetry reading featuring Thomas R. Smith and Freya Manfred at the River Falls Public Library. That's at 7 p.m. The Shell Lake Art Center holds its annual Tribute to the Big Bands Scholarship Benefit Concert. That's a big one. Next Wednesday, June 24th, 7 o'clock in the Darrell Aderman Auditorium in Shell Lake. Details online at shelllakeartcenter.org. Tonight, Thursday, the Sounds Like Summer concert series begins at Phoenix Park at 6 o'clock. That's in Eau Claire. Tonight, it features Honey Tree, Todd Barneson, and Unlin and Wolf. Thursday evenings, Tower Park in Colfax is the site of music performances. This evening, it's the band Hickory, if you're listening on Thursday. Next Thursday, local musician Jordan Herrick plays at the fairgrounds as part of the Colfax Free Fair. No Tower Park concert next week. They resume July 2nd featuring the Ukulele Club of Eau Claire. That's cool. There's music in Memorial Park and Ladysmith each Thursday, June 18th. It's Mr. Concertina and a dance contest, June 25th, and Elvis Impersonator. Wow. Eggplant Heroes, the name of a band, and sandwiches popular a few miles east of here. Today we'll focus on the band and welcome three members of the group excited about releasing a new CD next week and plain and simply having fun playing music they write with people they like. Eggplant Heroes have roots at the University of Wisconsin-Eau Claire and branches that extend out into several musical varieties.
Taking flight is quite a tall order. These days I prefer the ground. Buildings I can still leap are much shorter. They take more than a single bound. I can no longer go without glasses. My disguise is incomplete. And the speeding bullet it passes, no matter how I move my feet. Maybe it's true I'm not what I used to be, but I'm still.
I was joined in the studio the other day by Lucas Fisher, who plays guitar, percussion, and sings backup, Duffy Duffhausen, who sings some leads, backups, and plays the guitar and harmonica, and Max Garland, guitarist and vocalist, and they all write songs as well. Well, don't look now, but there's four guys on your website and seven on the CD sleeve. I need an explanation. You've prolifically grown.
Now, the explanation is pretty simple. We started out with four members, and then Caleb came along with the mandolin and said, can I sit in? And he sat in, and we liked it, so
we kept playing and playing and playing, and when we finally got good enough that Lucas would play with us, and that's when he joined the band.
Oh, he had to get to a certain level.
It took us about five, exactly, 6 years that's worth it.
He had to wait until we had a bass player. Yes. Dan Zur is our bass player.
Serious rhythm makes a big difference.
Yeah. So and you feel better now?
Much.
Now, the word heroes is plural, so you guys are all a hero. What does it mean to be an eggplant hero?
Oh, boy.
It's an audacious grab at sort of some sort of notoriety, I think. I mean, it as far as I can tell, it means nothing. But perhaps, you know, it means that maybe someone will ask us that question. I'm not exactly sure.
I heard it was just better than the last name.
That is true. It was better than the last.
What am I? I'm in the dark on the last name.
Oh, we just can't. We can't say the last name.
It was too pretentious.
Isn't Heroes a little pretentious now that
thinking,
you think of
yeah.
it? Okay, we're still, yeah.
It's to my mind, it's an homage to a sandwich.
Yeah?
It makes us a bandwich.
So you really aren't going to tell me the old name.
We're aspiring to be heroes. That's what we want to be, but so far we haven't managed that.
Will you know when you get there?
I don't think it's going to happen today.
You started to say something, Lucas. What was that?
Oh, I was just trying to remember what the original name was. That was before my time.
Okay, Duffy, you remember.
The original name was Clearwater Roots Fusion.
Oh, yeah.
In large
Sounds
part,
like a drink, actually.
It does. In large part, we play American roots music and Clearwater for Eau Claire. And then because Joel plays trumpet and adds a bit of jazz to some of our songs, I thought fusion, I'll take full blame, would work. And then the more we thought about it, the more pretentious the notion of claiming fusion was. It came about Joel and I having lunch over in Dinkytown. And it was an Italian restaurant, and I was remembering back to Eggplant Hero sandwiches from New York City.
Well, there you go.
And he's from Providence, Rhode Island, so he had connected with it instantly. And we kind of said at that moment, well, let's try that name.
It was so much better than that name I can't remember that Duffy just...
So anything would have...
Anything. It could have been Eggplant Zero, you know, whatever.
Well, since it was tough to give me an explanation of what it means to be an eggplant hero, I did do a little research about the eggplant itself being a maligned vegetable. Let's see how it matches the people who have chosen to use it as their emblem. The eggplant is cold sensitive, requires a long, warm season for best yields. Is that kind of the band?
I think the band member from Kentucky would agree with that.
Okay.
That's pretty deep.
It requires careful attention for a good harvest. It's almost spooky the way these may be describing
that
them.
Is true. And, of course, we thought all of this out carefully
Did
before
you?
We chose
So you've already
name.
Been through oh, this
absolutely,
process.
Absolutely, absolutely.
But we're going to do it anyway because the audience hasn't shared.
Months and months of research.
Though, our secret.
Many varieties have small prickly thorns on the stem.
Yes, and three of our members do. I'm not at liberty to say which three.
Well, now this one fits easily with a result of what you just said. Eggplant bruises easily.
We are super sensitive.
We are.
My feelings have been hurt several times already just this morning.
And the final one is probably the most prophetic, and that is use them right away because they become soft and bitter. That'll happen to you if you're not used in the right way. You'll become soft and bitter.
That's true.
Just use us up.
I think, right.
See, that's enough of the eggplant stuff.
That's
Although,
good.
This band almost seems to me, after reading bios, the product of fate. I mean, you guys have all come from far and wide, and here you are in Eau Claire, Wisconsin, and that you got together. Does it feel that way to you?
To some degree. I mean, the original draw for the original four members was the university in one shape or another. I came in 1984 to teach in the English department. Max came in the mid-1990s to teach in the department. Joel came around 99 to teach in the department. And Olaf, our fiddle player, his father came to be the director of the research office.
Olaf was also a student.
He was also a student, as was Luke.
That's true.
And Caleb, mandolin player, was out for a while a student, and our bass player, Dan Zur, is connected to University Extension. So it's kind of interesting. There's so many things that the university makes possible in a community. Until you stop to think about it, you don't realize that none of us would know each other without that university.
We're all very pretentious and egg-headed.
How, are you able to take the mentor out of yourself when you're in the band? Because you're a teacher.
I think it's fairly easy because even though each one of us has musical strengths, there are a lot of musical weaknesses we have as well. So we're relying on each other constantly to prop things up. And you know that it's going well when it's all blending and each person's doing his part rather than thinking, I'm the star, everybody's just following me. Not at all.
That's true, too, yeah. With this band in particular, because there's seven of us, name of the game is restraint. It's not trying to play over everything, but trying to find your place to fit, which for me was a real struggle for at least the first 6 months. It's like, wow, there's already like three or four lead instruments. Where do I play now?
I'm impressed with your honesty. Not many bands will sit in front of a microphone and use the term musical weaknesses, and that's cool.
Well, when you're an English teacher and a poet, and you're next to real musicians like Lucas or Olaf or
trained
Dan
musicians,
or Caleb, it encourages modesty and humility quite quickly. Yeah,
that's probably why the band works. In the studio with Max Garland, Duffy Duffhuizen, and Lucas Fisher, three of the seven members of Eggplant Heroes, they have a new CD out. It's called Better Weather. We'll be talking about that in a moment. Do you like being known for the roots, the American roots music thing? Has that blossomed since your last CD? And do you intend it to blossom?
I think we fit into the category roots, or what they call now Americana, which is a huge grab bag for really a music that has origins in the United States. So we tend to do a lot of folk. We move into a little bit of rock and roll, a little bit of blues.
Gospel.
The gospel.
And I have to bring up the fact that you, in addition to the ones you've just mentioned, some of the CD have some spoken word stuff, some rap-esque ingredients to it.
Birds twitter anxiously awaiting dawn, lost in thought we walk into the morn. Let us hike together, though the climb be steep, the road goes ever on to dawn, miles to go before we sleep. Puddle gives back the uncertain heaven, whose rolling evanescence, window to the sky on the ground. My heart recounts the essence of the scene now. The mountains about us looked like cathedrals. Twisted trees grew from vortices. The southwest sun climbed the arc through the needles. We followed past heart-shaped stones and leaves. At the top you walked out to a land bridge. The fall steep and sheer on either side.
So what's the criteria you guys use to determine a song that's going to be in the Eggplant Heroes repertoire? Can we play it? Yeah.
Can most of us play it? Can, let's say, 5 out of 7 of us play it? Then it's got a good chance of getting in.
If Duffy can play it, and it's an Eggplant song.
It is the case that because I own a lot of the equipment, if there's an Eggplant show, I'm going to be there. I sometimes wonder who else is going to be joining me. But I can do a solo if it ever comes to that.
But you bring up a good point. Lucas plays a lot of blues and has played in blues bands and still does. Mm-hmm. And Olaf has played classical and jazz. And Caleb has played a lot of bluegrass. And so a lot of people are coming from different directions.
So back to the criteria thing. So you've got impressive musicians. You have impressive writers. Is it intimidating to have good writers?
It certainly makes you not want to write many lyrics. Like, wow, I'd have to write for days to just even piece together little bits and pieces out of here to match up with some of the stuff that these guys write.
Well, you try out things, you know, in shows, or you try out things when you're playing together. We often play songs for the first time on stage. So, and, you know, sometimes it goes well, and it seems like there's a part for everybody in this song. I'm sure that we all also have songs that we're kind of holding back for some time yet to come, or some song that might not fit in the album. And many people in the band have other venues as well to play in.
Well, the one cool thing you'll notice about the album is that I think everybody in the band takes at least part in writing one song.
Mm-hmm.
With,
cool.
of course, the most amount of songs being written by Duffy and Max. But you don't get that in many bands. And the fact that there is musicianship and ability for people to meld into being able to do that. And on my song in particular, I was just warming up with a chord progression, and Joel said, hey, keep playing that. I've got some lyrics I think that would work over that. I think that that happens sometimes, too. I think... Mm-hmm.
Well, with me, the first song on the CD, I mean, I wrote the words, I wrote the tune. My favorite part of the song is Luke's solo. And so that's an interesting thing that comes along. You know, you think, okay, I wrote this thing. Now, what's going to make it work?
Mm-hmm. The other thing I like about what you guys do is the fact that your music, to me, is unconventional. So much of what you hear is a formula. Verse, verse, chorus, and verse, verse, chorus. And there are a number of songs that you have that don't feel that way.
Good. I think that's good. Sometimes we worry that some of the songs are a bit too long, but...
Yeah, there's a seven-minuter in there.
Yeah, yeah.
You appear also, and I think it's refreshing from my vantage point, to be a band who is doing it for the pleasure and liking the guys you play with. I'm not going to suggest that you're not serious about what you do, but to admit that many songs get their debut on stage means that you're out there saying, what you hear is what you get. Hope you like it.
That's
is that fair?
Not a bad summation. No, that's pretty good.
With seven members getting together, all seven, to actually practice and rehearse is always a challenge.
Oh, I'll bet.
And so sometimes two or three or four of us can get together, in which case a new song will get its first try, and then... You know, we'll come to a show and it's sort of up to the others to catch up real quickly. We don't do anything we do very few songs that are overtly complex in terms of their chord changes or time changes and so on, so that it is somewhat easier if you're reading the fingers of a person playing rhythm guitar to follow.
Pretty strong bassist in Duffy, who's sort of our lead rhythm guitarist, and Dan Zur. Who's our bass player, they pretty much will have everything down. There's very rare a time, I think, that Duffy plays something that Dan doesn't know or Dan's jumping in something that Duffy doesn't know. And with that strong rhythm, you got a backbone to step off of, you know, to jump from.
Mm-hmm. So the reason the band is as good as it is and does as well as it does is because you guys are having a good time.
Yeah, I think that's safe to say.
I think that's true. I think that not only this band, almost every band, Eau Claire has a lot of bands.
Yes,
they have a lot
of
musicians and a lot of musicians who have collaborations with other musicians in other bands. It enhances the culture. It enhances the community here a lot, and much of it is done for very little profit. So if there's not love involved, it's a different world.
In the studio with Eggplant Heroes, at least three of them, I'm Al Ross. This is Spectrum West. So you have some dates coming up, and I know the CD release is the 26th that the Stones throw. That's an exciting date.
Yeah. It sure is. We're really looking forward to it. Billy Krause, a local musician for a long time, is going to open up for us.
Cool.
He's a musical hero of several of us in the band.
Yeah, no, for sure. Billy's awesome.
And we're looking forward to doing the songs on the CD. Some of them we've done now and again in performance, but not all of them yet. We are doing a bit of rehearsing to get them all down because the recording process isn't seven people sitting in a room playing all at one time. It's sometimes two people playing and then another one going in to add a piece and another one going in to add a piece.
The CD's called Better Weather. CDs are kind of affirmation that you have good stuff and you want to share it.
We have this one place. Okay, we're all going to get together. We're all going to do our thing here and have a record of it and share it. And I think that's what it is for me.
The CD recording definitely had almost like a clubhouse sort of a feel. We booked a studio for a week, and we all kind of showed up when we could, but that meant that at least there was periods during almost every day where all of us were there.
One of the greatest joys for me is hearing the different combinations and what they come up with. Oh, it's this group.
The Eggplant Heroes. They appear Saturday at the Acoustic Cafe, and then next Thursday, Phoenix Park Sounds Like Summer Concert Series, and following that at the Firehouse.
And then the Stones throw on the 26th. Doors will be open at 6, and music will start at 7:30. There's no cover charge, and that'll be the first time that we will be playing this new material in its entirety.
Yeah. CD's available, and you'll sign them, I'll bet, and it'll be just a gala affair.
Yes, exactly.
Thanks, guys.
Thank you.
Thank you.
It's from this house your mother sees you playing round the garden trees. So you may see if you but look
through the windows of his book. Another child far, far away, in another garden play. Do not think you can at all by knocking on this window call. That child to hear you, he intent is still on his plate. Business bent. Another child far, far away, in another garden play.
Eggplant Heroes, they seem to have the recipe down for making good music, serving it with and two people they enjoy, while simultaneously applying a good perspective on what being a musician is, fun, and what it isn't, brain surgery, or rocket science. You can eat your vegetables Friday evening, June 26th, the CD release party at the Stone's Throw in Eau Claire. Let's see, a couple more Spectrum memos before we split. Love that. We didn't use that enough anymore. In River Falls, the free concert series Chill on the Hill kicks off next Tuesday, the 23rd, with Chris Silver presenting The Good Intentions Bluegrass, the UV Splash benefiting the Eau Claire Children's Theater, Northern Wisconsin State Fairgrounds in Chippewa Falls Friday, June 19th. That's this Friday. Hey, thanks to Kat Jacoby, Debbie Brown, Dean Collenbach, and thanks to you for keeping this audio buffet loaded and nutritious. Next week, a new publication centered on families, a garden tour for a good cause, history along and within the St. Croix River, and more. I'm Al Ross. Bye now.